Good morning, everybody. Two things to clarify at the beginning. I gave my chocolate away to one of the children sitting over there. And you might be wondering why I'm wearing this fetching hat today. Only one person was courageous enough to comment on it. You're very polite. And it will be revealed at the end of the sermon. So, let me start with a story. Once upon a time, there was a couple called George and Georgina. They lived in the country of fish and chips, tubes for trains and developing vaccines, talent shows and talented football managers like Klopp, Rangnick and Tuchel. Big Ben and Bumbling Boris. It was Christmas time, and George and Georgina were praying about who they should give some money to. Joseph and Josephine popped into Georgina's head. George agreed that they were worthy recipients because they lived incarnationally in an unreached people group. Then George suggested an amount that Georgina agreed to. They transferred the funds and informed Joseph and Josephine that a gift was on its way to them. A few days later, George got an email from Joseph, who thanked them profusely for the gift. And he told them that this was exactly the amount they had been praying for over the last couple of weeks. So George and Georgina couldn't help smiling because they realized they were an answer to prayer. And because they attended a church where they had been taught and also practiced different worship styles. It was a truly multicultural church. They really expressed your joy in a very un-British way. Woo, woo, woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Glory, glory, glory! And maybe we'll have a bit more dancing in church after CBC Come Dancing. Who knows? Who knows? And this story is to illustrate the theme of today's talk, generosity generates joy. So let's have a look at our text. Our section starts off, which should be our first slide, an agricultural illustration geared towards the predominantly agricultural community. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And remember, this seems to imply that what is coming is well known. And as a matter of fact, this verse is an extended version of "you reap what you sow," which occurs in several variations in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly compared to sowing generously and reaping generously makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Yet, the Greek contains two gems which do not shine through in this NIV translation. So, Young's literal translation, which is a really good tool for all of you to use. It's not a complicated thing. You can get it anywhere on the internet, on your mobile phone, and it reads as such and gives us a better insight. He who is sowing sparingly, sparingly also shall reap, and he who is sowing in blessings also shall reap. You know that I'm a linguist. And I get really excited by all these structures that I can see in there. And I think, wow, this is so good. This is so exciting. I know you're not. Never mind. So there's obviously a contrast between little and much, or negative and positive. And also, we've got a double whammy in there, haven't we? It's repeated, isn't it? We got it twice. So this contains a feature. And what is this one called? I have mentioned it in the past, and you will all say, oh, Jörg, I don't care what this is called. Well, the thing is, maybe you will remember it. It's called a chiasmus, and it's called an aber chiasmus, as we will now see. Because look, sow and reap are intrinsically linked together, and then you've got a repetition of sparingly, sow again, sow, reap again, and in blessings. So, maybe sometimes have a quick look at Young's Literal Translation and see if you can find the hidden Swedish pop band in there. Maybe you can find it. Maybe it's in there. Okay? It's very, very memorable. And also the literal translation of the Greek words for generously is in blessings or with blessings. In other words, if you bless people, you will get blessed in return. Not a bad deal, is it? This is expressed as follows in verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So, now you need to raise your hands, because I've got a little question for you. Is this blessing of a spiritual nature or of a material nature? So if you think that this is of a spiritual nature, raise your hands. Okay, a few hands. At home as well, I can't see any hands at home. I'm looking at you guys. Oh yeah, there are a few hands. Okay, if you think it's of a spiritual nature, raise your hands. Or did I just say that? I can't remember. Whatever. And what if you think it's of a spiritual and of a physical nature? Ah, you've learned something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Indeed, for a Hebrew, it's both things. Very, very likely. They don't have our black and white, this and that thinking. You know, it all belongs together. And abounding in every good work seems to point to the spiritual nature. Especially the last words of verse 10 also go into this direction. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Isn't this a wonderful imagery of all this kind of sowing and seeds and storing and harvest and then making bread out of it? Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? It's so gorgeous. Come on, give me a smile that I can't see behind your face mask. Yeah? On the other hand, material blessing was certainly a sign of God's blessing for a Hebrew. But the reality is this, isn't it? Sometimes Christians don't have everything they need. Usually not because they've mismanaged their finances. If they have, then go and take a CAP course. Yeah? But because there's a natural disaster, or you're living in a country where there's a totally corrupt government, these things happen. And in that case, Scripture provides clear guidelines on how to react for those who have and those who don't have. Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 12 to 13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And I'm so glad that in the NIV that last verse has been changed, because in the past it would have said, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, which was one of the most abused verses ever. Because people use this verse to justify anything, when actually it's referring to what it says above in the previous verse. In other words, the key is to be content and to rely on God-given strength if you endure hardship. That is the meaning of this, not everything. And if we have more than we need, then we have the privilege of giving generously to alleviate difficulties that our brothers and sisters are in. If we are blessed, then let's be a blessing to others. Verse 11 expresses it in this way: you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Maybe sometimes there is a little lack of generosity because maybe we get things that we want but may not necessarily need. And then maybe others are in need. So, here's another story. Recently, I watched a travel program, one of these train journey thingies, and they ended up in Dale in Norway. Anybody know what Dale is famous for in Norway? Well, my wife would know because we watched it together. So, they are famous for knitwear. All these gorgeous Norwegian jumpers, like the Lillehammer Olympics jumper. I looked, I thought, wow, they look really great. So then I looked online, I thought, oh, these jumpers are just so gorgeous. Oh, I would really, really like one. And then I started arguing with myself in my head as to why I should buy such a jumper. It's like, oh, it will make me look even more handsome than I already am. It will give me the perfect body temperature, so I have to put on less heating, and I'm combating climate change that way, making a positive contribution to the world. Yeah, I am supporting a business that is not located in China, but is in Europe. You know, I'm still believing in the EU, by the way. And also, it's durable. And then I thought, you know what, Jörg? You're ridiculous. So I went to my drawer and I took out this lovely jumper. And guess what? This was knitted by my sister for me many, many years ago. And isn't it gorgeous? And I've had this for, I think, 20 years. Right? So, thank you, my big sister. I'm really embarrassing her now, but maybe we should give her a clap, thanking her. She's very gifted in all this knitting area. So, you know, if you have sisters, uncles, aunties, you know, they are good at knitting, you know, suggests things like that. But the thing is, do you have these sorts of internal conflicts sometimes? Do you have these conflicts at all? Or do you just go out and think, oh, I just buy this because I want it? Or do you actually stop and think about this? Little question for you. Now, verse 7 expresses another important aspect of our giving. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this exhortation echoes Deuteronomy 15:10. So, right at the beginning from the Old Testament. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. And this verse is probably the earliest indication in the Bible that generosity leads to divine blessing. It really does. The context of this verse is God's command to Israel to cancel all debts every 7 years, in remembrance of their deliverance. And every 50th year, so 7 times 7, it was the year of Jubilee. Yes, the year of Jubilee, a time of release and restoration. And today, in remembrance of our deliverance on the cross through Jesus Christ and everything he has done, we can now have daily jubilations. We are no longer limited to that pattern. We can do it now, all the time. We can be generous all the time. Cheerful giving is rooted in thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done. He gave everything, everything on the cross. And to follow Christ therefore means to give not reluctantly, but with a happy heart. Happy giving is what God wants. Some churches, especially in the health and wealth movement, manipulate scripture to demand giving and tithe. And they sometimes make outrageous claims such as, if you do not pay your tithe, bad things will happen in your life. Or, even worse, well, if you don't give your tithe, you won't even go to heaven. These are all very clearly heresies, because it's rubbish. It doesn't say anything like that in the Bible. Nowhere does it say that, does it? Your giving should be coming from within you, cheerfully, happily. That's what the Bible says. So it's not a fear of condemnation, but thanksgiving. And here's the other thing. Generosity leads to thanksgiving. Verse 11b to 13 says, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expression of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. If you are generous, you trigger thanksgiving and praise without the worship band. Now, am I not grateful for all the musicians and the singers? Well, of course I am. The worship band leads us into a special place where we can feel God's presence, where we can connect. And it is often in these times that God might speak supernaturally into you as well. Often that's when he gives prophecies, words of wisdom, all these sorts of things. It just creates this special atmosphere which we can't explain logically, but it just happens. John Stott says, when we opt out of giving, we opt out of the privilege of meeting human needs and also deny ourselves the honor of promoting God's glory. Powerful statement, isn't it? Powerful statement. And in addition to prompting thanksgiving through generosity, you are also spreading real joy. Isn't that wonderful? You are a joy bringer to people because of the blessings. I mean, I find this such a fulfilling experience. You give to somebody and you meet somebody's need and they are thankful, they are happy. I mean, and then you sit there and think, okay, well, I better be miserable now because I fulfilled somebody's needs. And well, of course it gives you joy, doesn't it? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I think this maxim could be in part behind Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, please tell me, where in the Gospels is this recorded? That Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Where is that recorded? Anybody know? Matthew? Anybody else got any opinions? Well, the reality is it isn't recorded anywhere. Ooh! 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 groaning inside. Well, listen to John 21:25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I would suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would have been written. Okay? So, giving without ulterior motive undoubtedly generates joy in you and others. And also prayer, as verse 14 shows. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Isn't that wonderful? So, you not only generate joy and thanksgiving, but also prayer. Ah, three things. The Trinity is with us again. And that just leaves us with the last verse. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And that doesn't really fit into the flow of the passage, does it? It's a bit like, what's happening here? And I think that Paul is just spontaneous breaking out into praise himself. And this indescribable gift is, of course, Jesus Christ, indeed. How we have been sung about right at the beginning and everything. Indeed, his Son. And this gift should be celebrated during the Advent and Christmas season and encourage us to be generous, maybe even through the thank offering, which was mentioned in the newsletter. So there are these envelopes, the yellow envelopes that you can use, or you can give online. Just look in the newsletter. It's all in there how you can do this. And also to share and spread the joy of salvation from damnation, how we had it in that lovely prayer for the candlelight. Yeah? It was all in there. Seize this as an opportunity to share the good news and the joy of eternal salvation from damnation. I mean, what more joy can we give people? That is our primary reason. Jesus is our divine present. He is our divine present. So, let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we celebrate your coming into this world to save us from hell, fill us with your joy and the knowledge that jolly generosity will generate more joy. Then we will have a truly merry Christmas. Even when we bang our head on the kitchen cupboard and end up with a pretty big cut on the top of your head. Amen. That's the reason for the hat.